Good morning, everybody. It's a blessing to be here today. Haven't done this in a while. And this is my first object lesson, so bear with me. I was just really encouraged this morning. We were actually thinking about having the meeting at our house today, but I guess the weather and the forecast was saying it was going to be a thunderstorm, so we passed on it. But I wish we would have had it there. Anyways, it's such a time of life right now where there's just all these things growing, and you know, there's just grass is growing and flowers are growing and just all this new life out there. And so I wanted to talk about one of my favorite wildflowers. It's highly nutritious. It's healthier than just about anything you can grow in your garden. It's very persistent. It's hard to stop this flower from growing. It's very prolific. It grows really fast and it seeds really fast, and so it just can really, really get out there. And I think the reason for that is because in early spring, this wildflower is super important for bees, and it's really super important for bees. Some sparrows, and even turkeys for food. The turkeys eat the seeds, and the sparrows do too. But it's just a really amazing flower. It's so beautiful. I just really appreciate it so much, but not everybody does. Can anybody guess what it is? Any one of the children, can you guess what flower it is? Wildflower. It's one of my favorite wildflowers, yes. It's beautiful. It's really beautiful. Who said, what? No. It is blooming right now. It's all over us. I mean, all around us right now. Dandelion, yes. It's the dandelion. Some people think it's just a weed, a noxious weed, and they spend a lot of money. Here, you can pass this around. They spend a lot of money trying to destroy it. But it's very, very nutritious to humans, too, as well as animals. The point of that is it's a matter of perspective. Okay, so here's a picture. You can pass these pictures around too. Let's see. Just pass them around. So what's bigger in this picture? The fire hydrant or the truck? I probably should have kept one to just show everybody. Maybe I'll keep these ones. Which is bigger, the fire hydrant or the truck? Does any child have a answer? In that first picture. Yes, the truck is bigger. What about the second picture? Is it the flower or the fire hydrant? The fire hydrant, that's right. It's the fire hydrant. Okay, here, I got a lot of these. Get some of the youngins. Walk around lesson. Okay, so in this, these last two pictures, which is bigger, the fire hydrant or the truck? Anybody have an answer? Did you look at the picture? Okay. Sure. The fire hydrant, that's right. So, these last two pictures that I sent around, does anybody know why the fire hydrant is larger than the truck? Because it's closer. That is exactly right. So because something's closer, it can affect our perspective of it. It becomes bigger when it's closer, even if it's technically smaller. Does anybody know what I'm sure you all know what a magnifying glass is, but does anybody know what it does? Bends light? Probably. This is more simple than that. It brings stuff closer. It magnifies it. It makes it bigger. That's right. So, and this might be a little bit faster of an object lesson. I wasn't sure how long it was going to take me to do this, but so imagine that the semi-truck, see the semi-truck back there? Can you see that? Imagine that the semi-truck is your trials and your hardships. And the flower is God. So when we're closer to God, He's bigger than our trials and our hardships. And that's what the Bible says. The Bible says to draw nigh unto God and He will draw nigh unto you. And that's what that word means, draw nigh. It means igizo. I'm not sure how to say it, but it means to draw, like to bring closer, to make bigger. And I think that's why the psalmist said in Psalm 34, magnify the Lord with me. Like, make Him big. Make Him bigger than these things that try us. And exalt His name. Like, so we want to draw closer to God and make Him bigger than our trials. And that's something that we do. It's something, you know, drawing closer to God is something that the Bible will teach us to do. So, yeah, I wanted to just read that psalm, actually. Psalm 34. It's interesting when you draw closer to God and the promises of His Word, how these trials and hardships, you know, it just puts things in perspective, and they become smaller and smaller. When you start to focus on God's word about how, you know, the world is temporal, we're just here for a time, it's going to pass away, then it puts everything in the right perspective, and it can really help you. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. I thought that was neat. Like, he's close to those. He's big to those who are broken and contrite. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. So one way to draw nigh to God, to draw close to God, is to hunger and thirst after righteousness, and to hunger and thirst after his word, and just really press in to understand him and see the world through the eyes of the Lord. If you can have that perspective, then that's where peace and confidence and that's where harmony is. That's where true joy is. It's just having that right perspective, being close to God. And that was all I had today. May the Lord bless you all, and I hope this was encouraging. God bless you.
Oh yeah, thank you, Teo. Especially like that picture where the flower got so close that you couldn't see the truck anymore. So. I don't have too much to say. You put the definition to the thing Robert Cain tells us every Sunday, the Lord be magnified.
Amen, Brother Teo. Good object lesson for the adults as well as the children. I thought of that verse in Hebrews. Let us come to the Lord and boldly say, with a capital B, boldly say, the Lord is my helper. What can man do to me? And so if we draw close to God, what can separate us from his, you know, I mean, there's no thing like that. And in the little caption before Psalm 34, it said, a psalm of David when he fled before, or he feigned sickness before Ahimelech. And some of them, they say, I got Brett here and there, they're really in the Psalms. It's not a commentary or something. It really was in the original Psalms. And so when you think of that, he acted like a crazy man in front of Ahimelech. Remember that? He had spit drooling down his chin, and he acted like a nut. And Abimelech said, do I lack nuts? Crazy people? Let one more get away from him. And so that's when, according to the psalmist, when he wrote that psalm. And I know some people struggle with the Apocrypha and how Gabriel lied in the book of Tobit, but here we have deception. It's a deception, and God approved of it. The Lord be magnified.
I hope, brothers and sisters, you will forgive me, and especially Brother Teo. I am still learning English. And when the brother said, magnify the Lord, I recall the same sentence that this brother Robert often says, and I say, no, wait a minute. How do we magnify him that is greater than the universe? What do we do when we magnify the Lord? And then I thought, oh, I just lost my opportunity to share this with you when another brother said something about magnifying. It's actually seeing the Lord as He is. And I wonder, when the Lord Jesus said, "Behold, a mote in my own eye," what is that? Do I magnify the problems and the difficulties? And that makes me blind for the greatness, the majesty of the Lord God that is holding me through all the difficulties, and I don't feel His arms of loving care. I look down and I see my steps and I think I'm walking alone. How pitiful. Wrong seeing. So I think Brother Duane mentioned that, and says, until the Lord be so magnified that we don't see the problems. And then I said, maybe that's what I need. But then I realized how many mistakes I made when I thought there were no problems, it's just wonderful, and the Lord is great and merciful and gracious, and the brothers and sisters are so loving and careful and so on. Where is my place? Where is my position in all of that? I think I need my problems. And the Lord granted me problems so that I would not neglect the majesty of the Almighty God that came from the peaks of heavenly glory and descended to the bottom of bottomless to pick up another soul that He is bringing into His fold. Thank you, and God bless us all. I surely need it.
Yeah, Teo, I'm sorry. I missed, I'll have to watch it on the video, but, you know, I can't resist. Maybe it'd be too strong to say correct, but, yeah, so that passage that Robert quoted, where it says in Hebrews, I really don't think it's a good translation to say boldly. It's speak freely, is what that means.
Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't have much either. Something along the line of what Dijon shared, some of my thoughts too, how can the semi is never bigger than God Himself ever, so it has to be doing with perspective that we ourselves end up making God small and making the problems big. It's not the reality of what it really is. So if we have the right perspective, God is going to be bigger and is bigger.
So magnifying glasses make things bigger. If we had a giant magnifying glass right here, and we put it up against that wall, the things in the did Walter say bend the light? Yeah, so it bends the light. It takes the light of the things that we see in the middle, and it brings them out to the edges. So it takes this much light, and it bends it out, and it makes it this much light. So it gets bigger. But then the other thing that I guess is kind of obvious that happens is if I just put a regular piece of glass up there, we'd be able to see all the things on the edges. But if you put the magnifying glass, you wouldn't be able to see them anymore. You'd only be able to see that thing in the middle. Anyway, so you can only see so much at a time. I guess I'm talking about like maybe prioritizing. The only way the truck had to disappear in order to, for all the pixels to be full of flour, none of them could be the truck. Anyway, in order for the thing you're focusing on to be bigger, other things are no longer in sight. You can't see them. Anyway, that's just that That's the other thing that happens. Maybe it's just overly obvious, but the way the thing gets bigger is because other things are excluded, removed, deprioritized.
I appreciated what you shared, Walter. I think that would have been a good picture, too, is to have something really big made really small, and then something really small made really big to cover. You know, the big thing would have been God, and then we made this small little trial that we're having bigger than God. That would have been a good addition to that. I was thinking recently, maybe because of something Dijon said, but I'm commenting on a comment. just going through hardships and trials. Yesterday I was kind of thinking, we have all these plants that we planted inside, and now we're hardening them. So you take them out, bring them in, take them out, bring them in, take them out, bring them in, take them out, bring them in. So you just do it a little longer at a time. So they get hardened, and then when you plant them in the ground, they can endure. But I was thinking, like, my trials, like some of the things I'm going through, like, we all have to go through trials. It's a necessity for us to become this new creation that God wants us to be. We have to go through sufferings, trials, tests, all these things. And then I was thinking about my trial and like a certain trial, and I was thinking, what if, okay, this trial that I'm going through kind of seems hard, but what if it's not really that hard? There's actually other things that God could give me that are harder, but He's not. He's given me this thing. And because I have to be tried, I have to go through this fire, this refining fire. So this trial that He's given me, I have to have something to grow. And He's given me this, and I think it's this big thing. But what I'm missing is that no, there's bigger things He could be giving me, but He's not. He's just giving me something so I can still grow. But it was just a way to look at it where. It made my trial seem kind of small, like, you know, like I could have, you know, what if I got in a car accident, I couldn't walk anymore, you know, that was my trial to bring me to a closer place with Him. But anyways, it just made my life a little easier, that perspective.
Sing my soul.
Yeah. Yeah.